ask you to be with us as, Lord God, we open up your word. Help us see the true meaning of the words that you use. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to be taking a look at Luke chapter 14. It can be found on the back of your worship bulletin, Luke chapter 14. It can be also found on your screen. I would ask you to read the first two verses with me. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully, and behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. All right, so a couple of things to unpack for you right now, because the first thing I have, what in the world is he doing? Does anyone, when you read that, you were asking, what's going on? Number one, Jesus had a tough time speaking with the rulers of his day, and these were the Pharisees. These were often the highest officials, sometimes mixed with lawyers. Guys are well-trained. The problem being is that the Pharisees hated Jesus. The Pharisees hated Jesus. It's like the Vikings going to play at the Packers. You go there and they're going to be hated when they play there, right? It's kind of like that hostility. Jesus is there and he has that hostility all around him. And the question is, why? Why would Jesus knowingly go into a place in which he was hated? And so interesting enough is to unpack Sabbath day. What day? Saturday. Sabbath is a Saturday. All right, God begins the creation on Sunday, creates man on Friday, and then rest on Saturday. The reason being, the main reason being, is that he's going to die on a Good Friday, all right, and have to be in the tomb before Saturday begins so that he's in there for 3 days. All right, he's in there for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All right, that's a prophecy he would fulfill, but he had to be in there on a Friday. All right, and so interesting enough is you could do no work. Even if you were in the Bible class, the people from first service accidentally spilled this, is that you go into a building on a Sabbath, and if a Jew comes on the elevator with you, he cannot press the button to go up the elevator. Because that would be work. Can't do any work. All right? Ladies, on the Sabbath, you cannot take your mirror and look into it to do your hair. Because that would be work. That would be work. You cannot do anything. No work. So here they are on the Sabbath eating. And they're waiting to find out how they could charge Jesus with something they didn't like. And so there, do we really think that Jesus didn't know there was going to be a man with dropsy there? Do we really mean that, I guess I better do something. No, you could almost see the wheels turning and that Jesus enters and he knows exactly what he's going to do with that man. He knows exactly what he's going to do. And you look at our rest of our gospel lesson, and Jesus waits for that opportune time and heals him right on the spot, and then turns to them and has this greatest of questions. If you would read this with me. And he said to them, which of you having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day will not immediately pull him out? Here is the crux, I believe, of that entire gospel reading. Because there's what Jesus says, and then you got to pull between the lines what Jesus means. All right, so he's asking them, if you have a son or ox, don't choose which one you are. You are a child of someone else. And what you're asking, would your parent pull you out of a place of danger, even on a holy day? Would your parent do that? Do you need a check? Do you need a check to make sure? Would your parent break the Sabbath day and pull you to safety? That's what Jesus is asking. Okay, if you're doing it for a son, okay, let's lower a little. Would you do it for one of your possessions? Would you do that? Would you break that Sabbath day? And they know, it's almost like you've already done it. And he's looking into their eyes. You've already done it. I saw you do it last week. Last year when you pulled your kid out, I was there. I saw you. But read between the lines. This is what the gospel means right here. Do you see the gospel in there? Do you see the gospel of Jesus Christ coming to a people? In the Pharisees, the modern day German Lutherans, coming to them and saying, are you saved by what you do? Or are you saved by who does it for you? In this little bit, you can see the gospel, because Jesus Christ knew that we would need saving. And he knew he would have to take on the Pharisees in order that they would be so mad at him that they would hand him over to the Romans to have him crucified so that he would die and in 3 days rise again. So here is the gospel lesson. A parent seeing his stubborn children who get caught where they shouldn't be, and therefore him saying, I will come and rescue you. You can almost see Jesus' eyes looking at each one of them saying, I have come to rescue you from your sin, from which you cannot save yourself, and therefore I have come to you, and now you want to argue legalistically about me, of which I came to save? I am your parent, and this is why I'm here. So here we see the good news, even in this, the fifth verse of this chapter. We see a God who would not let his children go another day. I am here to save. I'm here to bring the good news. All the prophecies of the Old Testament are fulfilled in what I will do for you. And so this day, as we look forward to what's happening, we are not saved by what the Pharisees tried to get us to believe. We're not saved by what we do, by what we observe, by our traditions, our rites. We are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Only on that. And so this morning, we remember where it is when he comes to our table to hand to us what he has done, in which we receive the promises found in that supper. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this day in which, Lord God, you are still teaching us, help us remember that throughout our lives, Lord God, we will never be good enough on our own. And Lord God, for that we are thankful that we cannot earn our way to heaven. But we are thankful, Lord, that we can rest firmly on your word that says to us that by the power of your blood, we have a hope for a heavenly home to come. Be with us, Lord, on this day as, Lord God, we remember what you have done. We remember that by your death, your resurrection, Lord. Lord God, we have the biggest hope for the things to come. And be with us, Lord, as, Lord God, we seek to serve others, both in this place and the places that you would have us travel. Be with us in our work, in our school. Be with us in our travel. Be with us, Lord, as, Lord God, we seek to have fun and fellowship with each other. In your son's name we pray. Amen.